Welcome everybody to Loser Lee's Wrestling Podcast. In this episode, oh wait, first of all, my name is Bo Jaswell and this is Red Jefferson. Red, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, Moet. Thank you so much for asking.
Oh, that's my job.
How are you doing, Moet? You look great. You're wearing a Gremlins t-shirt.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. It's it's a fine movie and it's a fine day and I'm ready. Yeah. We're talking about Ready to Rumble today. Oh, I'm doing good. Thank you.
I mouthed it so the podcast wouldn't hear.
I got distracted. Stars David Arquette, directed by Brian Robbins, David Arquette and Scott Kahn.
Is that what his name is? These are two N's, two A's in Kahn?
Two A's. So is it Kahn? Is it Kahn?
No, I think James Kahn. Yeah. I think his dad is James Kahn.
Oh, so he would be a Kahn.
James Kahn? James Kahn? I'm not sure.
I don't know this guy, to be honest. I feel bad.
I'm worried that I'm appropriating by trying to say Kahn.
I think it's fine.
I know. I just like saying that for what that silliness.
But they play two numbskulls, two idiots that love wrestling, and particularly Jimmy King in WCW. It was WCW's first movie, attempt at a movie, a Hollywood movie. So they have real WCW actors in there, like Diamond Dallas Page, Sid Vicious, Bam Bam Bigelow. And some shenanigans happen. Some shenanigans. Jimmy King gets beat up for real in the ring, and they have to pep him up, get him excited to jump back in the ring and take his championship belt for real.
Not like fake stuff on TV. This is for real stuff in the movies.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
For sure. I love this movie. I love this movie so much. I remember people ragging on it, and I was just like, you're wrong. Some of the funniest one-liners are in this movie. I love David Arquette's enthusiasm. I love that it peels back the curtain of wrestling before anything else really did. It's just like, oh, this is fake until it gets real.
My take on it is it's pretty bad. It's still pretty bad. But now with time, all this time spent away from it, I can see it with nostalgic glasses and kind of like enjoy it for what it is and appreciate the music. I think the soundtrack helps me out a lot to enjoy it. Like Kid Rock is on there, is played quite often. Yeah, that's
a lot of late 90s, real early 2000s pop, whatever the popular alternative was. What was New Wave in back then? Limp Bizkit and Kid Rock?
Limp Bizkit, Kid Rock, Offspring.
Oh, that's right. They Offspring, isn't
it? Papa Roach. I haven't heard that name in a while. And then some classics that were slightly before their time, you know, Run DMC, you know, Motley Crue, things like that. But POD was on this on their album.
Wasn't that I Feel So Alive?
Yeah.
I feel so alive.
Oh, my
alive.
God. Red.
Oh, man.
POD was
that was my friend's entrance music. Nick Saber.
Oh, yeah?
Nick Saber. Hopefully he's watching this. Nick Saber out there. We love you. Big friend of the show. His entrance music was I Feel So Alive. And then he became a heel, international Nick Saber. And I think he lost it.
Ah, got it. POD was the first album I ever bought by myself. My brother had albums, and, you know, I borrowed albums from friends, but this was the first one. It was a big deal. I had my $20 and I said, I'm going to buy it because I like this song. Me. This is my personality I'm putting on stake here. It was a big deal. It was like, this is, and I went to a Christian store next to a GameStop or Electronics Boutique. It was actually called EB Games. And then I thought it was kind of weird that it was in a Christian store. But I bought it. I bought the album, and I listened to it. And then
how did you feel after you bought it?
Well, I didn't realize it was a Christian band, and the cool factor just like plummeted, like the stock market.
Imagine if you got swept up in the POD beliefs, and you're just a different person. And like, I was at a fork in the road, Red.
Well, no, but
I could have went down that POD line.
It was a big moment for me to realize I can't trust my personality. I can't trust what my tastes are yet. I have to be careful. Because then all of a sudden it clicks like, oh, I feel so alive for the very first time. I can't deny it. I feel so alive. Ah, oh, shit, that is just Christ stuff.
I love the childhood clarity you had where you're like, no, I'm going to be wrong for a while. Yes. I'm going to be wrong for a long while, turns out.
There's going to be a lot of misses here. I better just lay low for the next 20 years and just not make any decisions at all.
Smart. Smart.
T-shirt and shorts for life.
This is a paid advertisement by Loser Lee's Wrestling. Please follow us on Instagram at Loser Lee's Wrestling. It'd mean the world to us.
David Arquette and Scott, Scotty C, we'll call him because I don't know how to say his last name.
Scott K-Dog.
they're just not Jim Carrey or Jeff Daniels. They can't pull off that particular dumb charisma. So that's, I think, a lot of the times, I think it doesn't work. It's either not dumb enough or it's offensive dumb, which is frustrating, but, you know.
One of what I think the issue is when you say that, I think, God bless Scott Canine, or K-On. Scott Kayan. Okay. God bless him, but I feel like David Arquette is such a 9, 10, and Scott Kahn is like a 5.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like he doesn't do a good juxtaposition of his wildness. I wonder who would have been great at this? Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, like, he's a wrestling fan.
Yeah, he would have loved it. Or a Paul Dano. Someone very... Hannibal Buress would have been so funny, even though he's probably like 10.
I mean, that would have been still funny. If he had the... Yeah. He probably still had the comedic chops.
Imagine that. Like, reimagining the movie to where it's David Arquette and a kid.
Yeah.
Because that's the wrestling fan. That's the real wrestling fans. It's like an adult that just wants a fucking fight and like a kid that's like, wow, superheroes, you know? And that those are the only two types of wrestling fans at this time.
Yeah, it's true. That's good. That's good stuff. But I think the problem with me is that I didn't know why they were dumb exactly. And it's because how they portray wrestling in this movie. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest issue with me, and there's a few other things below it, but the fact, so they're never clear on it, and when they do become clear a little bit or try to explain it a little bit, it's not done in a dramatic way or in a funny way. So I'm saying they don't know, they never say, well, I guess they say the wrestling is fake in this world, but it doesn't start out that way. They start out in a way where you believe wrestling is real as a viewer, because you want to believe David Arquette. You want to believe the protagonist because the, you know, their dad goes up to them and he's like, wrestling is fake. And then he's like, it's not fake. He does that whole kind of thing. So you want to believe like, oh, so it's not fake in this world because he has visions of the wrestlers helping him out, wearing the outfits, doing, you know, being in character. But then the way they reveal that it's fake is such a nonchalant kind of throwaway moment where the main bad guy, whatever his name is, comes up. He's like, so it comes up to Goldberg and DDP. And it's like, so what's the finish tonight? You know? And it's like, I don't know. I think if I were doing it, I would have made that moment a big moment. If they want to have wrestling is fake, but these idiots believe it's real, then I would have the whole, I would build that up. I would have more and more people going up to him and be like, you know, wrestling is fake. I like why Dumb and Dumber works is, it's they're the crazy people, and the entire world plays the straight character to them, more or less. Like, they're a little eccentric, everyone else, but they're essentially constantly being like, you're dumb. Don't you realize you're dumb? And that's lets us laugh at them, you know?
Yeah, so, but I don't – but, like, I think they – I like the fact that they kind of just put it out there because I feel like that does build the world. That's painting the wrestling fan picture at the time. It, like, I feel like they did that because they don't want to alienate the audience. The audience already knows that wrestling is a show at this point. And I thought they mentioned it pretty early on just to be like, get that out of the way. Get it out of the way. Okay, we're not going to try and portray wrestling as real. This is going to be a fun movie with some realism to it. Like, I feel like if they even portrayed it for a moment as if it were real, I would have been it would have taken me out.
Oh, well, I think it's, I guess because with this movie, what they want to do with it, it wouldn't make sense. It's real, but I was thinking like it could be fun where like they could have made that moment where they reveal that it's actually fake, a funnier moment. Like,
they could have done it funny.
Like a close up on Jimmy King's head as he's in a headlock and he's going, ah, you know, like he's in pain. And then it cuts out and he's like, don't tighten it up so much, man. Like, what's your problem? You know, or kind of like a big, like
kind of started it like how they started the match. They let, like, when him and DDP are going after each other, maybe that be where they reveal, like you said, where he's just like, that would have been, it's just bad editing, I think, or bad storyboard, like where they like put it a little bit too soon.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where issue.
I think that's what's frustrating, because then they want to play it back and forth where they try to have it both ways now, after they reveal that, where wrestling is fake, but this part's real, but they don't make that as big of a moment, because then it's like I guess it makes sense why the two characters hate that they see Jimmy King in pain. But they never come to a realization that it's fake. You know what I mean?
They do come to a realization a little bit. Jimmy King lets them know.
Right. But then later on when he decides to come in, he's learning how to fight for real.
Sure. And because because he's like, that last fight was for real. Now it's real.
Yeah. So, but then that doesn't make sense for the business at all. Like, why does he want a belt if it's fake in his world? Why does he want that back if it's all a bullshit scheme, right? And then he gets all these people that come in because, like, they're like, wrestling's fake. He's like, you think it's... And then so he's teaching all these people to become assassins.
You're the kid that's like...
Pro-wrestling martial arts.
You're the kid like, how do reindeer fly, Red? Like, let the magic be there. It's like, just like Dumb and Dumber, nobody would give him a bulletproof vest to go in there with a gun at the end of the movie. No cop would do that. We have to suspend some disbelief. It's in the magic world of wrestling. They're hoping, I guess, some non-wrestling fans watch this.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know what the point of it was. I guess, were they trying to get people interested in wrestling? I don't know.
I don't know. Did you know that Eric Bischoff was supposed to be in this movie?
I did, yeah. Yeah, he was supposed to play the main...
Sinclair.
Sinclair. Who played Sinclair? What's his name?
Oh, something... He was in Matrix. He was in Sopranos.
Joe Pantoliano.
Yeah, he was in Memento. You ever see Memento?
Yeah, he's really good in Memento. He's really good in Matrix. I still think about that scene in The Matrix where he's eating the steak. He's like, I know the steak.
He was in Goonies.
I didn't know that.
He's one of the sons. He's one of the sons of the Fratellis.
Wow. 68 years old. Joey Pants is his name. Well, I mean, his nickname.
That's his nickname, Joey Pants.
Joey Pants. That's a great name. Great name for a wrestler, too.
Oh, yeah.
Comes out
with
pants on his arms. Just an entire pants guy.
Moet, this is going to go into content. I have so many, but I haven't gotten to yet. Joey Pants, Cap and Comebag.
Stop saying
By the way,
that
we should make a t-shirt. Cap and Comebag. And it's you holding a bag. A wet bag. Like a paper bag that's just sopping.
Oh, God. Get out of here. This is not funny.
Joey Pants.
If you're watching on Spotify Music, please subscribe on Apple. If you're watching on Apple, please subscribe on Spotify. We need this.
How he admits to puking all the time. you know, they use the word pussy in this, as in, like, you're a pussy. I think that's obviously terrible. Not great, but they do it. But and then the line's like, my dad says puking's for pussies. I puke all the time and I'm not a pussy. I thought that was very funny.
Sure.
Despite the word, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
At least there's no F words. No F bombs in this one.
Yeah. I mean, there's still like homophobia.
Sure. Yeah. We could be. Moet, to be honest, if we're ever watching a movie between 1982 and 2009, I'm expecting some form of homophobia, no matter what, across the board.
I mean, yeah, I guess I'm the type where, like, I would rather they just commit to it instead of the joke that they choose. We're like at the end when Scotty C is looking at steak, it's like, I love you, man, or whatever. It's like, and that's perfectly okay to tell another man, two men talking about how much they love each other. I want, and then it cuts to Sting. He just kind of gives him a look. I would love him to be like, you're right. And then they just start making out consensually, like, super into, like, there's nothing wrong with kissing a man on the lips. And then
Mullet, you're making some interesting points. There's a lot of homoeroticism that they missed out on in this movie.
I think that's...
I feel us redoing it, a lot more butt staring.
Yes.
Like, a lot more, like when you first go to the gym, you're just looking at all these fucking masculine butts.
And not like in a... not
sexual way.
No,
admiration.
Genuineness. Mm-hmm. Like, this, like, is wow. It. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That's just 2 minutes of... It's just, wow. Look at that. Oh, wow.
Would you look at that? What? I'm doing the glasses thing for those on the podcast. You got to give them visuals.
Got to explain.
So far, if we're remaking this movie, let's just go with it. We have the morning start, beginning of the movie start with them in the ring, letting us know that it's fake. We replace Scott Kaka with a child of some sort, and a lot more homoeroticism, but not with the kid in the room. Not in the kid in the room.
What kid?
Well, because now there's a kid in this movie. Lead star.
Oh,
I think all
the
homoeroticism has to be at David Arquette's ballpark.
Yeah.
He's going to have to be the one really pushing that storyline. And,
but like in a fun way, hopefully not. Like, you can be objectifying in that way, and that's bad. Bad.
Yeah.
But you want to be careful with it. You want to have fun with it. Yeah. You can do it where everyone's.
We're also taking in the context of 1999. We want it to be as progressive as possible for 1999.
Yeah.
Want to let the David Arquette's realizing that he's not into the male body, but he is very curious. I think that's a good underlying thing. A former homophobe that's now really really seeing things.
That's actually great. Because he's never seen men look like that. They've never seen someone that looks like Goldberg in real life.
In person, yeah. He sees on TV and he's like, oh, look at those action figures. And then he sees them, he's like, wait, that's a man. I want David Arquette to say that.
I think I wrote, things happen without explanation. They happen just to move the plot forward, which I find frustrating. I think the main one that's annoying is, I guess, I'm jumping around, but the ending. There's a scene where midway through the movie first, they run into Goldberg at a gym, and they want Goldberg to be his tag team partner or something, and he says this whole thing of just like, we tried before, like, you were drunk. It's like, yeah, I'm sorry, like, you puked on me, like, well, the fans loved it, like, you were my partner, which is, I wish they just showed that. I think that was a funny moment, but...
Sure.
But that's aside...
I feel, yeah.
The real,
that's a good point.
The real issue for me is that he shows up at the end. He shows up. There's no, like, I don't know, like, moment of reflection for Goldberg, a scene where he stares at a lake and considers, like, maybe it's time to change, you know?
I would love a good Bill Goldberg building a cabin scene where he is just contemplating life, builds a log cabin. He doesn't have an axe. He's karate chopping that shit down.
By himself.
He's kicking it. He's kicking it with... You know how he comes out to the ring and he's doing those punch kicks?
Yeah.
That's how he should chop down trees. He's not even chopping them down. He's brute forcing them down. You get some roots in there.
It would be a good match cutting to his entrance, going, ah!
Yeah.
But at the same time, cut to him kicking a tree down. Ah! And then smoke.
That's a good question.
What's that? What's the question?
That's a good thought. Oh. Wait, why didn't Goldberg have some sort of lumberjack gimmick? You know, he's coming in. He's brute force. He looks like a tree. You throw a flannel on him. You throw a flannel on Goldberg.
He's got the beard. I mean, it's getting there. The beard is getting there. Like, he's got, he could put a nice cap on his head, just like a lumberjack.
Imagine if he walked out with an axe. Imagine if he walked out with
an axe. And he does the kung fu, but with an axe. You know, he punches, but he's got an axe in his hand.
I think we should send an email to Goldberg. But you're right. I feel like if they're going to talk about the thing, they should show the thing. I want to see Bill Goldberg get puked on.
That would have been good.
I want to see Bill Goldberg get puked on. You teased me with it. You teased me with it. What would have been a better way of solution? This is a good solution for this, Mullet. They talk about it in that gym, right? And then at the end, Goldberg comes out, clears house, helps him out, Jimmy King pukes on him again. He's like, again? And then, again?
And then David Arquette goes, whoa, whoa.
Whoa.
Ooh. Whoa. Oh, whoa. Wow. Whoa.
Oh, my God. And the puke runs down his butt, and he's just like, wow. Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Look at that. Look at that puke butt.
Or, yeah. That would make a way better movie. Just right there. Memorable.
I hate the phrase take it or leave it, because those are the only two options for anything. Feels kind of obvious. I also hate the saying it is what it is. Stupid.
Follow Loser Leaves Wrestling on Instagram and YouTube, and make sure to follow us on Twitter with Loser Leaves Pod. And also, please like and subscribe. Please like and subscribe on all of the things.
If we just start promoting things,
do you think we could get sponsorships? Just by saying things?
Yeah, like if we're really into like a duck sauce brand, a brand of duck sauce, and we just make this ad for them, do you think we could get them to give us money? Is that how that works?
Why don't we do? Let's do a quick thing about, name a brand. What brand do you support?
What's the Marshmallow Man? What's the
Marshmallow? What's Stay the, Puffed?
Stay Puffed Marshmallow
that,
Man.
Is that real? Is that a real marshmallow? I thought that was fake for the movie.
I think that's real. I'm almost...
Let's pick one we know is real, Moet. There's so many.
Rosita refried beans.
What in the fuck? Oh, boy. Moet, I love... I'm really hungry for lunch. What should I eat? What should I eat, Moet?
I don't know. What do you have in your pantry? Do you have...
I have... I have duck sauce. I have duck sauce. I have Rosita fried beans, too.
Rosita fried beans? I love Rosita fried beans.
You know what? I do, too.
They are they're vegetarian. They're thick.
They make good soups. They're good in salads.
Whole beans in there. No other refried bean brand has whole beans still mixed in the refried beans.
Here's a little cooking tip. Get a turkey and shove a whole can of Rosita black beans in there, and that's your stuffing.
Shake it up.
You have to shake it up first.
Shake up the whole turkey.
Rosetta brand beans.
If you work for Rosetta brand beans in any capacity, please reach out. We would greatly appreciate your sponsorship.
How's David Arquette in this? What do you think?
Oh, David Arquette is a real sweet. I love his energy. I love him in all the things he is. I love Oliver Platt. Oliver Platt does such a funny job as the king.
He's real good.
He is such a good... What a get. I think he's the best part of the movie. No, the best part of the movie for me is Sal Bandini, Martin Lando, legend. Freaking legend in this movie. Here he is. You know who he taught?
Who he
was an acting teacher for?
Who?
Jack Nicholson.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, he's old.
Yeah, he is.
Old man.
Well, he's dead. He's super dead.
Well, is he super dead? Yeah, 2017. I guess that's super dead. That's only a few years ago.
2017?
Yeah.
Man was old. When was he born?
1928. So he was 89.
90? 89.
Yeah.
Oh, poor guy.
He's wonderful. He's really great in this. I guess he's supposed to be Stu Hart. Or at least influenced by Stu Hart.
That likes Stu.
His dungeon fam. His Stu Hart's dungeon. So
yeah. And he likes hurting people. But you know what? He loves marketing more than anything. Him coming out, popping up, and saying Stu Bandini. What's his name? Sal Bandini. Want to wrestle? Even when Sid Vicious and Perry Saturn are in the room about to kill him, wanting to kill him. He pops up and says that.
You know,
Who says that?
Because I could see Stu Hart doing the exact same thing. And he did. Also, Stu Hart had that kind of sense of playing with kayfabe, where the dungeon was like a real thing where he like brutalized people. I still don't know how truthful that is. I assume
that is truthful.
Right? It's got to be.
That was wrestling training. Up until the 90s, up until the 2000s, even Tough Enough, they were beating the shit, because the idea is you beat the shit out of them, and if they stay, they want to be a wrestler.
Yeah. So in this world, it was a very smart choice to get someone like that, an old guy that it will actually beat you up, even though it's a fake sport. It's all fake, but he'll mess you up and show you why it's you should take it seriously, like it.
I wanted them to go further, Mohit. I wanted them to go further. Because if you're going to show Martin Landau loving to hurt people, he should have killed Scott Cann. He should have killed Scott Cann, and the movie's now, like, accidentally, not on purpose. Not on purpose.
Is Scott Cann a child in this, or is he...
Yeah, he's a child. Okay. He's a child in this, and they're wrestling he's around, killing... he's showing him some moves, and he didn't realize his fragile boy body wasn't a man body. And he snaps him.
Okay, so in this version, he's killing childhood Hannibal Buress.
Not meaning to. And then he has to live with that guilt for the rest of his life. And I think that would be a really... He's an old man. He's an old man at the end, and he's just loving to hurt people. Why don't we hurt someone too much?
Sacrifice. Hurt someone too much. That's on...
That's what this movie's missing. Stakes. It's missing stakes.
Now you've got... You've sacrificed your best friend who is a child, and you've got to really beat the crap out of Diamond Dallas Page now because you've gone too far. What would Scott Cann do? What would he do if he was alive? He would tell you to fight Diamond Dallas Page. But he's not
alive. Let's make Scott Cann a Scott Cann do. Right?
Yeah.
Let's make Scott Cann a Scott Cann do. That's going in the things that I'm going to make a t-shirt for. Scott Cann do.
I know we've been talking about Ready to Rumble so far, but for the next 10 minutes, we're going to talk about Luchasaurus and how Mohit and Red would book him. I don't know. It just happened.
Like, how would you make this match better, Mohit? You know what? I think Luchasaurus should die. He should lose his leg and then grow it back like a real reptile.
Do reptiles like do real... well? I mean, reptiles do that, right? But
yeah.
Dinosaurs don't do that.
Don't know that. Well, we don't know that.
Well, do we?
We do not know because that.
Because they're not around. But he's around.
They're not around.
So he could do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah.
You're right.
And he's his own. Have you ever heard of a Luchasaurus before him?
No, I haven't. You're right. Yeah.
He's we one of it. He's the first and only of his kind.
So he can do whatever. He has no rules.
We should do. Our next podcast to make it more fun.
He's also a doctor, isn't he?
In real life?
I think so. Am I making that up?
I think you're thinking of Britt Baker. They do look a lot alike.
You're right.
They do look a lot alike.
I get them confused easily.
Both have long flowing hair.
Yeah.
Both like kicks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Both are wearing masks at the moment to protect their faces.
Both have really nice teeth.
Very good teeth. Oh my god, do you see the teeth on Luchasaurus? Could pierce a sheep. A goat.
Could destroy it.
Oh my god.
Rip it apart. I can't do that with my teeth.
Reboot Jurassic Park. Luchasaurus, 20 feet tall, biting people out of toilets. Like in Jurassic Park.
Oh, right. I had to remember. Yeah. It's been... It's
no,
been,
I guess that looked sounded different.
It's been probably like 15 years or something since I've seen Jurassic Park. I am thinking about watching again because it's on Netflix now. It's shown up on my trending list often.
We should go and watch Jurassic Park, find the issues with it, solve them.
That would be fun. Or just would Luchasaurus be in Jurassic Park? And I could just cut out Luchasaurus and add him. It, like, you know, driving, it's now Luchasaurus just, like, running after them, like, I guess the Terminator, I guess, in this version.
And Jungle Boy is that little umbrella thing that kills Newman.
Which one's Marco Stunt? Because I would think...
Oh, Marco Stunt should be that one.
Yeah, that was my thought.
And then, Jungle Boy are the Velociraptors that are turning the knob.
Slightly bigger, slightly more dangerous.
I would love to see Jungle Boy with limp arms trying to work a knob.
Oh, like Jungle Boy is that stupid flower dinosaur, isn't he? The one that...
No, Marco Stunt is.
Or shoot. I meant Marco Stunt is because, like, Marco Stunt looks kind of cute. That one looked kind of cute, right?
Until it
starts flossing. And you're like, oh, you're evil.
You rascal. If you're not careful flossing, you're going to kill Newman.
Yeah.
Marco Stunt.
I remember that. I definitely remember that. When he tips over the porta potty or whatever... Reveal him shitting.
Yep. So we have him. And that's Cody.
Spielberg is a genius.
Cody taking a shit and Luchasaurus coming in like that.
What is he doing in that? It's eating him?
Oh, yeah, eating him. And Cody's legs are flopping out of his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's, yeah. What do you think of the wrestlers in Ready to Rumble?
Well, let's see. Let's go through them. Macho Man, perfect choice to start off. Perfect choice for that tag team in the beginning. Fair?
He got punched in the face. You saw those outtakes?
Yes, I did. I did. He hurt him.
What do you think Macho Man did after that?
We don't know.
Because that's in the trivia that he gets punched in the face, but we don't know how he reacted to the punch.
He's probably a good sport about it.
Yeah.
He's 100% a good... He gets hit all the time.
It's true. And he's a big, scary guy. He knows he's in the position of power, literally. He's got more power than him.
Yeah. Diamond Dallas Page is whatever. Anyone could have played him. He does look like a bad guy, so it's fine. I like the mullet. We already discussed Eric Bischoff. Bill Goldberg should have gotten puked on. Otherwise, why have Bill Goldberg?
I'm confused.
If you're not going to puke on him, why do you have Bill Goldberg?
Why do you think Dallas Page was the main guy?
He was the most popular heel at the time. Oh, he was one of the most popular. Like, maybe not. You're right.
He was a baby face.
This was 2000. Yeah, that it was filmed.
He was a face because he was a face.
You're right. You're right.
That's what made the Archetype run so confusing was he was a face. He was a super good guy.
Let me reverse that. It's probably because all the bigger people required too much money.
Yeah, that would make sense. Like Goldberg, I would think he's always been a massive star, other than maybe the first couple months of his run when they were building him. But after that, he became gigantic, right? So it's weird that he's only in it for a few scenes. And Sting has always been a big star. He's only in it for he does have his moment, which makes sense with his character too, of like the Crow Sting. But I would think, you know, I want to see more of them. I want to see what Sting does. You know, what is he? What is he? Sting? What's that?
What am I in love with Sting? Sting has a love interest. Sting, small little side story. You see Sting, especially with the homoeroticism that we're trying to get in here. Of course, Sting sees Vampiro. Sting sees Vampiro and he's just like, who is that guy? Who is that guy in the face paint?
He's quiet though. Does he say that or he?
You're right. He shouldn't speak. You shouldn't speak. It should be a like a gaze, just being like a double take. Like you're gonna be Vampiro. You're gonna be Vampiro, and I'm gonna be like staring brutally, and then just. Did you see my thing? Did you see my look?
I did see it out of the corner of my eye. Yeah. Oh,
like that. Like that, and we get. How into Vampiro Sting is.
And for the listeners on the podcast, Red's eyes just got very big and he went, ooh, he mouthed, ooh.
Sure. For the podcast, we have to be, I'm so sorry. I'm going to know, I'm not doing any more visual only things ever.
But that's what Sting does. So it's, you know, Yeah, because I want to see what gets him going. Why does he get up in the mornings? And it's, I guess in this version, it's Vampiro. He gets up because he wants to impress Vampiro, but he's too scared to talk to him. He's too scared.
And you That's why bleed he's that quiet. Into storylines. You bleed that into storylines on TV. Vampiro and Sting had an epic feud. Why? Because Sting loves Vampiro, and Vampiro is too young to understand those type of feelings.
The only way he knows how to tell him that he loves him is to punch him in the face and beat him up and fight him and really grapple with him.
Oh my god.
In front of thousands of people, that's You're their right. kink.
Sting needed a bigger role, and that role was to be Vampiro's secret admirer from afar. From afar.
Red, I have a question for you.
Yeah, spit it at me.
Is Vampiro in this movie?
No. I'm saying add another wrestler. Because I think that Sting and Vampiro, obviously there's a sexual tension there. We've seen it in their matches. So might as well keep that chemistry for the movie. You know, we could have Sting really into Perry Saturn, but no one would believe it.
No one in the world would believe it. Yeah.
You just see Perry Saturn and his wife watching the movie, and then Sting flirts with Perry Saturn, and you see his wife do a spit take because she's like, how could anyone like this guy?
Yeah, his charisma void. Just a black hole of charisma. There's nothing, yeah.
I don't want to be so mean to Perry Saturn. He struggled so much.
Yeah, he's had a hard life. But that's okay. Doesn't mean...
I'm going to stop picking on him. Psycho Sid's in the movie.
Psycho Sid is good. I like, oh, great scene with him and Sal Bandini, him, Perry Saturn. I like that. I would have enjoyed more hijinks with wrestlers doing stuff, and that's the only one we get.
Especially with Sal Bandini. I think Sal Bandini should have gone after he killed the boy. After he kills the boy, he goes on this fucking tear, or like a tear through the WCW locker room. Like, you know, he's just fucking chopping the hell out of people, pulling eyeballs out of the head and squishing them on the cheek. Like, he should go full Haku, biting off noses at the end. At the end, only at the end. After his heart attack, he trains. He trains. He gets better. You know.
Because what's his motivation?
To save David. Arquette.
You're saying specifically when all hell breaks loose in the ring, he shows up. That makes sense. I thought he just goes crazy for some reason and starts attacking people in the hospital or something. But that
it could start there. It could start there. I feel like so he beats the shit out of Perry Saturn and Sid Vicious. We're already there. Instead of having a heart attack after that, he has a heart attack after killing the boy. He kills the boy, has the heart attack. He wakes up in the hospital, realizes what he's done, can never forget it. We'll never forget it. He's watching TV and he sees Jimmy King in trouble. He sees Jimmy King and David Arquette in trouble. And then he just rips the IV out. Any orderlies that come by, he snaps their fucking necks. He snaps their necks, hops in an ambulance, drives right up the ringside. Then we get another wrestling moment where the ambulance is now in the ring.
I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but if you're not subscribing to our YouTube page, did you ever really care about us? I mean, we do it for you. Loser Leaves Wrestling on YouTube.
The ending. One I will say about the movie, in all earnestness, the movie feels like two different movies. It's the beginning part super fun, all the way up to them training to get back in, and then it feels like it dies for me.
Yeah, they don't. They do this whole love interest thing that doesn't even go anywhere. It's just totally. He gets laid in the camper RV for no reason. The supposedly like ugly girl, I guess, or the one that they just don't care about. Mm-hmm. They kind of make it seem like she's like unattractive.
That she's not unattractive. She's just plain. She's a townie. She's a townie that's never going to leave town. And he's got big. Scott Cann's got big dreams. Got big fucking dreams. Too bad they don't match his talent.
Yeah, she's not ugly. I should say that. I actually thought that was annoying because she's very attractive. I thought
she's very attractive. Yeah, I think she's cute as a freaking butt.
Yeah. Right. And so. But anyways, that's not the point. The point is, like, they do that whole thing, and then they don't bring her back at the end. And then he's, like, into Rose McGowan, and she doesn't show up at the end. And it's like, why are we doing this? Why are we here?
Yeah. The two female characters, the one has very little to say, and the other one's not very nice to women.
Yeah. Wait a second. That chick that he thought he was into that hates her, that is the fry cook or whatever, at that burger fast food joint, never shows up. They never do anything with her.
Yeah. Yeah, they never
That's stupid.
Because he's moved on. He's moved on. He's a wrestler now, dog. He's a wrestling manager.
He's a manager.
Actually, that's another big thing. That's another big thing. I hated that. I hated that one got to be a wrestler. The one that's not, that's like, at least Scott Cann's in good shape. Mm-hmm. He looks more like a wrestler than David Arquette. They should have both been wrestlers. I don't understand why he became a manager. It was dumb.
And also, this is... do they know it's fake? Do they actually realize that it's fake? Because there is a moment where Jimmy King is like, it's not real. It's don't you realize there was no Jimmy King. And then their response to it is to put him in a figure four leg lock and get him to kick them and do the crowning, just a bop on the head. So
well,
I don't
what, though?
Think they
you
know
what it is, Mowat. They know that wrestling's fake. They know, but they just don't want to say it, and they just want to get beaten up. And I get that. Sometimes I want to get beaten up. I want to fight. I want to fight all the time, and they just want to fight.
It's pretty sad.
Yeah, it's real sad. It's a real sad existence. Yeah.
I feel like there is.
I'm not trying to be too down on these two characters, and please take this lightly, not to trigger anyone, but the two characters at the end probably committed suicide after the movie. The characters.
Really?
They're very hollow people. They're very hollow people.
No!
They don't have a lot.
They got so much at the end. They got a truck with Sal Bandini following them around forever. He's in a hot tub with two gorgeous ladies. And they get to watch that.
Look at their lives before, right?
Nobody's.
Nobody's. How old were they? Late 20s, early 30s. Fair?
Potentially. Yeah.
So now they haven't done anything. They're shitmongers. They're collecting porta potty waste. And now they're wrestlers. Moet, what do we know about wrestlers after wrestling?
They don't have a good life, yeah.
They don't. So now you take these two shitmongers that are now pro wrestlers, have everything they want in life. They're going to Jake the Snake themselves.
You're saying they got to the peak, but they didn't make a foundation.
Because, yes, beforehand. They are going to be out of... Mm-hmm,
They accomplished their dreams that they didn't even know they had. They didn't know they had these dreams. So was it actually their dream or not? That's another difficult realization to consider when they get to that moment in their lives. But they get here and there's nothing to land on because that's why they end up at the convenience store.
This is a cautionary tale. It's about when you have a dream, squish it. If you follow your dream, you're gonna get hurt physically. And one of the worst part is they didn't tell us at the end what really happened to him. How the struggle with depression, alcoholism, Sal Bandini ripped him off from a bunch of money because that's what wrestling trainers do.
That ending sequence is a dream. It's an Inception moment.
No. That's really what happened right after the movie.
Oh.
Right after that match.
Because
it's all popcorn and champagne after you have a big win. All popcorn and champagne. But now, when reality starts setting in, they come down from that high of being on stage in front of millions. They're going to crash. And I feel like this is a cautionary tale towards anyone that wants to follow their dreams. Don't.
No, I'm saying at the convenience store.
You
think that was real?
I think that was that. Yeah, I think they went on a mini aggression rage where they decided, oh, we're better than everyone. I'm going to go beat the shit out of this convenience store clerk, throw him out a window, ruin his life.
That is really mean. I didn't even think.
Ruin his fucking life. Yeah, they're on a tear. They are depressed.
That guy is kind of a jerk, but you should, you know, address that with violence.
You punch up. You don't punch down. Yeah. You just became champions of the world. And now you're going to go to this convenience store clerk that's just struggling to feed his family.
He's having a hard time.
Feed his family. He's got alopecia. Leave him the fuck alone.
That's why he's having a hard time. That's why he's mean to him. He's got a bunch of shit. He's probably got kids. He's got to feed on, $7.25 an hour job?
$7.25 an hour. 13 kids.
In this country? 13
fucking kids. No, his wife died at birth of the last child. Do you know how hard that is? No, you don't, Moet. Stop nodding. You do not know how hard that is.
For the
listeners on the podcast, Moet was nodding like he did know how hard it is, but he does not.
You're right. You're calling me out. You're calling my shit out. I live a pretty decent life.
I don't mean to take it out on you, Moet. I don't mean to take it out on you. I'm just very upset with how the producers portrayed mental illness in this movie.
That's fair. That's totally fair. It's you know, I actually didn't even think of that. How mean they are at the end. It's not a good story. It's not a good tale.
The entire time they want to get beaten up.
Very.
They have such low self-esteem.
Very selfish behavior too. They have all the power now, and that's how they treat others. So I don't know. Yeah. There could be a sequel if they wanted to, and if they didn't kill themselves right afterwards, there could have been a sequel.
We could have a sequel leading up to them killing themselves.
Okay.
yeah, you know, 6 months down the line, once their star is faded and they don't have any skills to back it up because they're not wrestlers and they don't know what they're doing and all the wrestlers hate them because they jump spots and they didn't pay their dues. Once they're harassed and ribbed so hard that they have to leave the locker room and get changed in their cars because that's the only place they could safely change without being attacked or insulted. They're going to leave the wrestling industry. They're going to go back to their lives where now their boss is the one they threw out the window, throw out that glass, and he's not happy. Oh. He's got glasses in his eye. He's blind in one eye and he can't see his 13 children. At least he sees half of them. So then they're going to have to deal with that. They're going to commit suicide in those next 2 weeks. And that's when we start filming.
Okay. So now
the last 2 weeks.
So it's a tragedy because we know it ends in a suicide.
Yeah, we already know that. But I mean, let's show it. Just like we want to see them puke on Goldberg, we want to see them kill themselves.
Okay.
You know, that's what the audience wants. I'm not trying to. This is not funny mode.
This is dark. This has gotten very dark. Well, I do think, I do feel like we fixed the movie. I think we came up with manageable ways to make this interesting and entertaining. And we even gave them a sequel whenever they want to do it. Whatever studio created this monstrosity.
Moet, our next project. Want a reboot?
Reboot?
You want to reboot this? How? Want a reboot?
Like how?
We get the rights to Ready to Rumble, and then we do a reboot.
Yeah. We fix it. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it can't be that hard, right?
Yeah. We could even get Oliver Platt.
He's still around. You could just play the same character.
He's alive.
Yeah.
He's alive, yeah. And that's all we need. We just need him alive.
That's it. That's all we need from you. Just stay alive.
Just stay alive. You don't even have to say anything. We'll just use dialogue from your old movie and have you mouth over it. Because everything Oliver Platt does in this movie is perfect. Can we agree?
Yeah. Yeah, he's fun.
Everything. He is not needed to be changed. Not needed to be changed.
No, he's a lot of fun. He's good stuff.
I can't wait to edit this podcast. I'm going to be like, on Oliver Platt. And then...
okay, yeah, I feel like we're done. I don't know.
I actually liked how this turned out.
Yeah.
I think this is an interesting... I'm going to stop recording.